Sexton, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. It has happened. The Congressional Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection has voted to recommend that former President Trump be prosecuted for his role in it.
A previously unseen interview with Trump advisor Hope Hicks showed the former president resisted efforts to call off the mob.
He said something along the lines of, you know, nobody will care about my legacy if I lose.
The former president called the committee a kangaroo court and again falsely claimed the election was stolen. Deborah Alfarone, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Snow, wind, ice, and frigid temperatures are in the holiday forecast for millions as Arctic air sweeps across the U.S. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson at the map.
You've got brutal winds for the East Coast for Friday and then a flash freeze where temperatures drop an incredible amount, 30, 40, 50 degrees in a span of a matter of hours and probably about 12 hours. And then you could even get a coating of snow. So basically, if you are traveling Thursday or Friday in the eastern half of the U.S., you should expect delays or cancellations.
The Midwest and Great Lakes regions could be in for a major blizzard this week with airport and road disruptions starting on Thursday. Monday was expected to be the busiest day of the year at the nation's airports. 9-year-old Edwin Rodriguez was flying out of Charlotte Douglas International in North Carolina.
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year, and always get here early because there's always long lines.
A verdict in the trial of a disgraced movie producer in a Los Angeles courtroom. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
A jury finds Harvey Weinstein guilty on one count of rape involving a woman known as Jane Doe No. 1. But the jury was hung on several other counts where a mistrial has now been declared, including an accusation from the wife of California's governor. The 70-year-old had pleaded not guilty to all seven charges against him. He's already serving a 23-year sentence for sexual assault convictions in New York.
The jury of eight men and four women deliberated for 9 days over more than 2 weeks before reaching its verdict. The dethroned crypto king Sam Bankman-Fried is reportedly ready to face the music in the U.S., agreeing to be extradited from the Bahamas. CBS's Vicky Barker has that.
Gone were the t-shirt and baggy shorts that had been his uniform as head of his now bankrupt cryptocurrency company FTX. Instead, the 30-year-old was wearing a dark suit and white shirt.
An entryway to New York Central Park has been dedicated to the five black and Latino teenagers who were wrongly convicted of the 1989 rape of a white jogger. The men, once known as the Central Park Five, are now remembered as the Exonerated Five. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your...
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. I wasn't reminded of Gene of Eau Claire.
Whoa, welcome back, Matt. I really missed you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
I was reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Merry Monday, Happier, Happy Hour. Dom, we welcome back a fine guest, friend of ours. I'm ecstatic that Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis right here on the Civic Media Network, Saturday mornings between 9 and 11. If you haven't heard him yet, go get the podcast. But Jim, welcome back, man. You are a great guest for a day like today.
Hey, Jim.
Mike, Dom, good to be with you on any day of the week, including Mondays.
Well, Jim, let me point out, it may not be Merrick Garland Day, may not be Special Counselor Day, but perhaps Jimmy Raskin Day or Benny Thompson Day or hell, even Liz Cheney Day.
But Adam Schiff Day.
Right? But you, as I understand it, Jim, you think today is a big nothing burger because it really is irrelevant, right?
You know, I hate the word, I hate the phrase nothing burger because just there's nothing there. And this is big politically. It's huge politically. It's hugely important in the history of our nation. This is a day that will go down in history. That you've got a body of the United States Congress saying that a former president has committed crimes and doing it publicly in such a way that not only are they referring matters to the Department of Justice, but announcing in a 160-page executive summary and more to come on Wednesday, all of what this president did. So I do not mean in any way to diminish the significance of this day and what we saw this afternoon. My small comments are just these. It is irrelevant for what the Department of Justice is going to be doing. And so to the extent that there's this notion that somehow now the Department of Justice has got all this information and can go forward, they've been doing that for many of the past months, maybe not as long as the committee has been up and running. And it concerns me only for this small reason. And that is at some point down the road, when it is in fact Merrick Garland Day or Jack Smith Day, and we do in fact have an indictment, invariably on this program and others around the country, we're going to be comparing what it is that the Department of Justice referred and how it is that the grand jury crafted its indictment. And in that connection, then, the notion that the charge is going to be made, again, defensible completely against Merrick Garland, that he's doing this just for political purposes. He's doing what Jamie Raskin told him to do, what Benny Thompson told him to do. And that's the kind of argument the Department of Justice doesn't need. It's unsupported. It's going nowhere. But it just adds one more small thing that the Department of Justice doesn't need in a situation where the referrals themselves technically, legally, are not necessary. The larger issue that I have about today, which was kind of a gulp time, was this notion we're going to be releasing all the transcripts of the witnesses. That may be the larger concern that the Department of Justice has right now, that before we've indicted anybody, we're going to release into the public domain all of these transcripts so that all of the putative defendants, the potential defendants out there, can take a look at what others have said about them and perhaps craft their stories. That's the kind of thing that I think Jack Smith might be somewhat concerned about this evening.
Well, a couple notes on that, Jim. Certainly any defendants are going to assume that those people who testified said what they said, and they're going to craft their opinion or their defense accordingly anyway. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know that they would change their defense because of it. I mean, certainly maybe there's some little things that could be said, but all in all, you know, the defendants, if they are charged, they know what they did, and they know who saw them do what they did, and they can, you know, fully expect that those people testified honestly to that. And the other side of that is, you know, you mentioned a couple of the Democrats, the Department of Justice doesn't need it, and you're right. I mean, the DOJ has had a lot of issues here lately, let's just put it that way. And so they're kind of in a no-win situation, Jim, but there were also two Republicans on that committee, and those Republicans referred. There are a lot of Republicans that voted against Donald Trump in the impeachment as well. There's a lot of Republicans that have a problem with anybody, be it a Republican, independent, Democrat, whatever, you know, engaging in insurrection and fraud because they lost an election. So, I mean, those things, I do agree, they're going to be there, and they're not with any merit whatsoever. But that's the greater issue for me is that the Congress doesn't do this for history and right. for the American people to try to lay it out as best they can. Specifically, Jim, the four charges, let's go through these briefly if we can. Obstruction of an official proceeding. Cheney, she came out swinging with this one a long time ago. Any comments on that?
Sure. And this is, I think, the strongest of them, although it may sound the weakest to listeners out there. Sounds like you're interrupting a meeting of some kind. And in fact, you are. But it is a felony. And you can prove it, again, by simply showing that what you have done, what you have put in motion, what you've assisted or supported, results in the obstruction of proceeding. What is that proceeding? What did you do? You effectively stopped the counting. And this is not just, yes, it was resumed later on, but you actually did obstruct that proceeding. And so that charge, I think, I hope that Jack Smith is listening, yes, but I hope it's already on his list. That's one that I think would be at the top of any indictment coming down the road. And so that one, I think, is quite strong. The other ones, again, various levels of concern about those. The false statements piece, again, one that was not reported previously on under 1001 Title 18. Very, very important. This is the false electors part of this. We've talked about that. The fact that our attorney general in this state has not pursued that, but presumably the attorney general at the federal level will be doing so. I think that's a very strong charge. You've got people coming forward making false statements in a document that affects the future of the election. The one that
hang on, Jim. Let's take on the conspiracy to make a false statement for a moment. Sure. Certainly, here in the state of Wisconsin, we had the former GOP chair Andrew Hitt and others sign off on this. And their defense, apparently, according to their testimony given to J6, was, well, you know, we were told that this would only be done if and when a court case, yada yada. So they're trying
to
hide behind
this. That case had already been the Wisconsin Supreme Court case had already been decided before that false electors vote was taken here in the state of Wisconsin. I just make that note for history, Jim.
Yeah, that's a good point. So do they have any defense? Is that a defense? Number one, do you think that the people who actually did this, the false electors themselves, are they also then part of this conspiracy? Could they be charged? Should they be charged? And is this a defense? Hey, the attorney said it was okay.
All right. Defense of counsel is a recognized defense in criminal proceedings, but it only goes so far. Right. And it presumes that there is something about the law or legality that is sufficiently obscure that I wouldn't know about it absent my attorney telling me that, yes, you can do this, that there may be a significant real estate matter or transaction involving securities. Here, what you have are people getting together, plainly clandestinely, in other rooms and Capitol buildings around the country, putting together a document saying that I am an elector and that Donald Trump has won. And my attorney says, well, yeah, I can do that because it's just conditional on all these other things. Is that a reasonable kind of assumption to make? I would argue as a prosecutor that it is not. Again, that's the reason why we have trials. Juries could believe that kind of a defense. But I would offer to you that, again, on this charge that the committee is recommending, I think it's a pretty strong case. You've got a document indicating that people are not who they are, representing something that is not true for the express purpose of doing what? Of undermining the election and causing people at the highest levels of government to make a decision that would be fraudulent and false if they relied on your document. That's a pretty compelling situation.
Folks, you are listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show recapping the last January 6th hearing, criminal referrals of the former president, four different charges. But before we move on from the fraudulent Trump electors here in the state of Wisconsin, okay, the lawyer told me to do it, or at least that's the excuse being expressed. Well, the former chairman of the Republican Party of the great state of Wisconsin is senior counsel at Michael Best and Friedrich. He is counsel. He is a lawyer. So how do you say that lawyer told me what I know from my own profession, because I'm not just some gumshoe out of college. I am qualified to be a senior partner at one of the biggest political firms in the state. If that is the case, both things can't be true. You can't be an ignorant guy and also capable of being a senior partner at Michael Best and Friedrich, at least in my opinion. Jim, tell me I'm wrong.
I will not tell you you're wrong. And I think you've just made the closing argument for the prosecution in a state prosecution or presumably the upcoming federal prosecution that Jack Smith and Merrick Garland will presumably be approving fairly soon. I think that's exactly what you say to a jury. And again, there's this great instruction, we've talked about it before, that says you've got to still rely upon your common sense. You don't have to be a lawyer to understand all these things. You don't have to be a judge to understand all these things. You bring your common sense and you draw exactly the conclusion, Mike, that you just drew, which is one of these things can't be true. And you can't rely on both of them to get out of trouble here. I think it's a very compelling position to articulate.
Jim, as we've mentioned, we really don't think the actual criminal referrals of Trump has any bearing whatsoever. What about the ethical referrals of Congress people that fail to honor specific subpoenas? One of the people we understand is Kevin McCarthy. This guy thinks he's going to be the next speaker. He's getting the gavel on January 3rd if he's got the votes. But how do you give out the committee assignment to the ethics committee that investigates you?
It is a problem, right? It's not only a small problem for him. It's a huge problem for him politically, but also ethically, you'd like to think. And we've also got Jim Jordan, who is also scheduled to be the head of the Judiciary Committee fairly soon. The ironies just continue to multiply here, right, in terms of who's in charge in Congress and the brazenness of going ahead with these behaviors and with their conduct as leaders of these committees and of the majority in the House and the Speaker of the House, even as there is this major allegation of ethical violation. Presumably, much of this will be going away when the new Congress gets sworn in. But the Ethics Committee, they're not insignificant charges, and they should be considered by the Ethics Committee very, very soon.
If I was Hunter Biden and I got, you know, let's just say a subpoena from the committee chairman in the Judiciary Committee, which may be Jim Jordan soon, mm-hmm. I think I would ignore it, Jim. I'd throw it in the trash can like they did.
Regrettably, there's precedent for that in America now, 2021, 2022, is there not? And we're ready for an exciting 2023.
Come back with us. More exciting Devil's Advocates, a Merry Monday edition. Always better with a little Jim Santel and some morning cannolis.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Weather in a Moment brought to you by Wishgosh, providing technical assistance to workers, help with OSHA contract language, referrals to legal and health professionals, and assistance on safety and health. Call 414-870-3060. That's 414-870-3060.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. A winter storm watch begins at 6 a.m. Thursday morning and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. 21 overnight, under overcast skies, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs around 25 tomorrow, lows around 3 above tomorrow night. 2 to 4 inches of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
Ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, our friend, sticking around for at least one more segment. Jim, thank you for doing so. I want to get back to the criminal referrals. We talked about obstruction of an official proceeding. We also talked about the conspiracy to make a false statement, the false fake electors. We got two more, conspiracy to defraud the United States, and my favorite, inciting the insurrection. Jim, which one do you want to tackle first?
Well, let's start with insurrection because it's my favorite too. I think it's probably everybody's favorite. Like, let's poll that. Let's have Evan take a poll of listeners out there. And so, and this one again, I commend the committee for advancing it. Again, regardless of the political and visual set of this, because it really is a big deal, right? To charge. This is the kind of the seditious conspiracy. This is the notion that you intended to overthrow the government. And to the extent that today's message, again, historically significant, politically important is anything, this one does appropriately grab the attention of Americans. Says this is not just, oh, some reporting matter, obstruction matter here or there. Those are significant in themselves. This is a big one. The challenge, of course, is that it really does require a huge amount of proof about intent. The good news about this, it doesn't have to show that you're conspiring with others. And you probably can show that intent just by virtue of all the things that the people surrounding the president, the ex-president, said at that time, including his own family members, and his refusal, as they said, to his dereliction of duty to do anything. That you can put intent from that and argue that that is in support of his purpose to overthrow the government. That's the insurrection charge. It is a difficult thing to show, but not impossible. I think it's bold. We'll look forward to seeing if Jack Smith embraces it and goes forward with it before the grand jury. Doesn't need it again, but certainly it is a very attractive message to send to the American public, and would be powerful in an indictment as well.
Jim Santel, our good friend, host of Morning Cannolis, right here on the Civic Media Network, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. I like to consume the morning cannolis. It's quite good, Jim. Let me ask you. There were targets of this insurrection, A, the Constitution, right, democracy, but B, effectively, the vice president was targeted. And even a tweet in real time sent by the president, you know, didn't have the courage. What he was really saying is, go get him, at least in my opinion, Jim. Well, you know, the vice president is out today effectively calling this a partisan committee, defending the former president, saying, well, I don't think criminal referrals are merited. I mean, I know he's going to go run for president, but this is pretty craven stuff. I mean, if I was the target of Hang Mike Pence, I might find a little backbone, Jim, just a human opinion. You got anything to express?
Absolutely, especially as there is a noose that quite literally is hung on the Capitol grounds, not too far from where the vice president was, especially when this vice president has distanced himself in some ways from the ex-president. Why not do it here, where the intended purpose by the ex-president was to have you killed? Can you imagine anything more dramatic than that? And so I look to Mike Pence and I say, gee, I understand your political aspirations and the reasons why you may want to criticize the committee, but I agree with you entirely. Stand for it. Say, you know what, this is too far. And there are pieces of this committee. Recommendations are being made, findings being made here. Mr. Pence should say that I do, in fact, endorse this is one of them. And that kind of political maneuvering, including an invitation to kill the vice president, completely unacceptable and unlawful. And can also, by the way, getting back to our previous discussion, be a part of the proof for the insurrection piece, for the conspiracy to defraud, for all of this. That can also be a part of the grand jury presentation and the trial presentation when that comes before a trial jury.
Counselor, I'm going to make a confession on behalf of the panel. I have not yet touched that report. I haven't done any reading, but there are other people doing the homework and starting to post articles. One of the headlines I see, apparently, Donald Trump was not the only Trump family member that was scrutinized in this January 6th report. In fact, first daughter Ivanka was accused of being less than candid with the committee. Are they accusing her of perjury, do you think, Jim? Are they dangling that out there like, hey, DOJ, you know, she's right. No snitch, let's just say.
Right. And we saw Ivanka a little bit today in the presentation, perhaps somewhat fleeting, but that kind of thing, not only is, again, for the public consumption, understanding the corruption, if you will, that pervades the Trump family, as we've seen in this instance, many other things pending in New York, as we know well. But also, you have to believe that Jack Smith, that the other folks that he is supervising right now, are looking at everyone. We do know that the transcripts, again, being sent, if they haven't already been sent to the Department of Justice, he will look at those and make a determination, not about whether there is a lack of candor, lack of forthcomingness, if you will, but whether there was perjury. Perjury is a tough thing to show. Where we've got these other instances of at least the Secret Service agent, for example, failing to remember things on January. Again, that's certainly a lack of candor, right? That's not being forthcoming. Whether that's perjury, that's tough to show. But it's, again, got to be the kind of thing that's on Jack Smith's list these days when he considers all these people who have been the focus of his investigation and now are a part of the recommendation from the committee itself.
Jim, in the last 45 seconds here, lots of folks pled the fifth, and perhaps the Secret Service guy was less than candid. What can Jack Smith do that the J6 couldn't?
Right. It could also call them before a grand jury as well. Presumably that has been done. They can once again invoke their Fifth Amendment rights in that setting. But that doesn't mean you can't be charged with something. So if others provide you with information that indeed you did know what you were failing to recall at that time, other things like that, just because you invoked the Fifth Amendment doesn't mean you can't be prosecuted. And Jack Smith would certainly look at that to address that kind of situation, too.
You know, the only unfortunate thing is we say goodbye, Jim. Christmas morning, no fresh cannolis. Have to do with rerun Santa. Thank you, Jim.
And we'll look forward to not just reruns, but to the end of the year as well. That last Saturday in the month, we're going to come back and talk about all these things. So we will see you again and hear you very soon.
Thanks.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief. The January 6th committee has recommended that the Justice Department prosecute former President Trump on a number of criminal charges, including insurrection. Committee member and Maryland Democrat Jamie Reskin in an interview with CBS News.
And instead of calling the Joint Chiefs of Staff or the Secretary of Defense or the National Guard or the D.C. Police or the Capitol Police, he sent out a tweet saying, Mike Pence did not have the courage to do what needed to be done. In other words, he further assisted the insurrectionists.
The committee will release its final report on its 18-month-long investigation Wednesday. Cold air moving across the country, says the Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren.
Some serious cold. Cold that's going to extend all the way down to the south, where highs will likely not get above freezing by the end of the week. And some areas will have wind chills that feel like 40 degrees below zero.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. And the Zeros. And Porky's Groove Machine.
The Spice Girls. Muy caliente.
Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this Civic Media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
My Shiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A merry Monday, the happiest of happy hours, and the finest of guests. Thank you to James Santel. Morning cannolis. If it ain't Christmas morning, we probably got some fresh morning cannolis every Saturday morning, 9 to 11, on the Civic Media app or on your local station. You know, check your local listings. He plays out at the same time across the network. But, I think you tweeted it for, you know, the show. You did tag it, Dom, but lock him up. Lock him up.
Lock him up. Say it with me now. Lock him up.
Isn't that what Michael Flynn used to say about Hillary Clinton? Lock her up.
He did. Lock her up. Lock her up.
They got a lot of mileage out of that on the campaign trail back in 16,
if I
right?
did a tenth of the things that Hillary did. Right, yeah. I mean, these guys are just... Are they that clueless or that... I don't know how to explain it, man. How do you stand up there knowing you're doing what you're doing and then yell to the crowd, yeah, lock her up, lock her up. Well, what about what you're doing, dude?
an interesting, you know, contrast, let's just say. Well, of course, lock her up. They're projecting. They've been projecting the whole time.
Yes. Yeah,
everything they say their opponents do, they only comprehend that because they've been doing it the whole time. And, of course, Michael Flynn, apparently you plead the fifth on a question of whether or not there can be peaceful transfer of the presidency. That's a yes or no. That's a binary question,
but you
sir.
Plead the fifth because you're probably on tape saying somewhere, we cannot have the peaceful transfer of power. You know what I mean? So if you say yes, now you're perjuring yourself. Want to throw this one out there, and you can join us on the phones. Want your reaction as well, 844-967-2789. Brad Reed reporting over at the Raw story. Although Trump has accused the House Select Committee of turning a blind eye to the purported mass fraud he believes cost him the 2020 presidential election, it turns out that the committee did ask his allies to back up their election fraud claims under oath. The executive summary of the committee's final report states that it asked multiple election conspiracists, including John Eastman, Michael Flynn, Jenna Ellis, and Phil Waldron, for evidence of election fraud and, quote, all invoked their Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination in response. In addition to this, former Trump attorney Giuliani acknowledged to the committee that he did not buy claims that Dominion voting system machines had stolen the election from Trump, and his ally Bernard Carrick acknowledged that it was, quote, impossible to determine conclusively whether there was widespread fraud or whether that widespread fraud would have altered the outcome of the election. In sum, writes the committee in the executive summary, not a single witness, nor any combination of witnesses, provided the select committee with evidence demonstrating that fraud occurred on a scale even remotely close to changing the outcome of any state. So you have your chance. You know, who is this? Jenna Ellis, Michael Flynn, Phil Waldron, John Eastman. Go ahead. Lay it out for us, brother. Tell us what your fraud is.
I plead the fifth.
Because it was all bunk. They knew it was all bunk. It was all bunk. That's why they could not even pretend to come up with some sort of fraud, because they were under oath, and instead they plead the fifth. Hey, all you Republicans out there, it was stolen, huh? Where's your proof? I plead the fifth. What?
They had theories. They just lacked for evidence. What's that stuff? Evidence?
Sure.
Now, our buddy Rudy Giuliani of the Four Seasons, you know, that guy, the running hair dye guy, the I lack for a law license guy, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just remember, Andrew Hitt, and it was brought up several times recently. I think I should do so as well. Andrew Hitt's from the WRCO listing area. Hope he's listening to the Packers on our fine broadcast later. But Andrew Hitt from Richland Center is the former head of the Republican Party. He's a false Trump elector. He gave testimony in this deal, right?
Yes.
But he's also an attorney by trade. And they're all saying, and I know Bob Spindell was out there, and it's so strange to me, a guy that perpetrated a fraud but then says to the press, in the case of Bob Spindell, this former elections commissioner, well, but Trump's lawyers told us to. But then you take a good hard look. I mean, it's you're talking about Rudy. You're talking Rudy kind of came up with this drunken plan.
Well,
allegedly
Brill,
drunken.
Was the other one as well, as mentioned specifically
Eastman,
in Eastman.
Clark,
yeah,
Clark
yeah.
Who was going to be his hatchet man over at DOJ. I mean, all these guys really should fear for a criminal prosecution. I'm sure they
well,
do
I,
at
I
this
would
late
hope so.
Hour. And I would wonder, what about those that failed to effectively honor the subpoenas? Or, you know, look at the Mark Meadows, right? Mark Meadows was supposed to go give evidence. He did drop a hell of a lot of text messages before he clammed up. But why is he not in contempt of Congress? If Steve Bannon's already been to trial, convicted, and sentenced, and appealed.
And appealing, right, yeah.
Why isn't Mark Meadows... Why isn't Mark Meadows
in
the same boat?
Great question. Well, because I don't know. And I mean, certainly at the time, Mark Meadows was part of the administration and Bannon was not.
How does that
sound? I don't get it. I mean, if you're in contempt, you're in contempt. If it's good for one, it's good for all.
Well, I guess the only point is, it's not just Donald Trump. I know Donald Trump got his, this former president, in the public record, this bipartisan panel, criminally referred him. And the media's charge, as Jim Santel pointed out, probably the insurrection one, right? That's mm-hmm. the one that kind of has the sexiness about it, at least relative to what's being alleged, because it's the grossest, most craven. I mean, oh my goodness, this guy was the president of the United States, and he tried to overturn the government. You know what I mean? It's like, this isn't some crazy mob
will of the people. You know what I mean? The will of the people shall be done, man. It wasn't just, you know, boarding up the Congress and staying, you're going to have to drag me out. I mean, he was purposefully trying to throw out the will of the people, man. And that's the part. I mean, it's one thing to, if you had the proof, they'd have presented it. If they had the proof, they'd have won in court. They didn't. The whole thing was bunk to begin with. He was planting that seed corn back in February.
And as I heard on the Civic Media app, as I was listening to the testimony, and if you'd like to react, audience, you can be a part. 844-967-2789. I know people are making last-minute preparations for a Packer game and that kind of stuff, but come on, man. They're not even going to make the playoffs, probably. You can listen to us. You can be a part. You can join us on the airwaves. And, Dom, perhaps here's some good news for you and the audience. We don't have indictments. It's not Special Counselor Day. It's not Merrick Garland Day. But the Electoral Count Act, you know, this loophole apparently in the Electoral College that John Eastman and Trump thought they were going to jam through history and we're going to allow the vice president to either select him, tell you about Pence, or at minimum throw it back to corrupted state legislatures like the one that we have here in the state of Wisconsin would have gladly embraced that, oh, we get to pick, we pick Trump. You know, it would have been. It was only a 4-3 decision by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, literally earlier in the day before the false Trump electors had ever met, before they ever committed the crime, the conspiracy that the former president's being referred for criminal charges on today. But that means you, Bob Spindell. That means Andrew Hitt, Kelly Rowe, and others on that list of false Trump electors. I hope you got a good frickin' criminal defense attorney. But back to the Electoral College Act, and then I'll let you go, buddy. Amy Wang at the Post reporting a bipartisan bill, bipartisan, that would make changes to how members of Congress could object to electoral votes will be included in the omnibus spending bill. See that? They're jamming it through, Dom. Lawmakers need to approve in the coming days, Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, said today. The Electoral Count Reform and Presidential Transition Improvement Act. Yeah, let's improve over that last one. Sponsored by Collins and Senator Joe Manchin. I hear he's a Democrat from West Virginia. Would amend the Electoral Count Act of 1887 and reaffirm that the vice president has only a minstrel role at the joint session of Congress. You know, he's just counting the votes while Electoral College votes are counted. The measure would also raise the threshold necessary for members of Congress to object to a state's electors. Looking at you, Ted Cruz, and dozens of others. Dozens, not just the ones being referred to the Ethics Committee, but I mean, we got 30, 40-something Republicans that are willing to throw out democracy. How do I know? I've seen the text messages to Mark Meadows.
Yes. Call the Insurrection Act. This is the only way it's going to happen. And that's only what we've seen. What
martial
we don't know is what was on
law.
Martial law. What we don't know is what was on the encrypted apps, which is what a lot of those folks did. If you remember reading the Mueller report, that's how they communicated. That's how they did their dirty deeds back then. You use encrypted apps. So why are you getting off your cell phone and jumping onto an encrypted app? Are you doing some nefarious things? I would suggest so. And again, it's still is mind-blowing to me, that we had this attack going on in the Capitol for over 3 hours while Trump did nothing, and the where was the Pentagon, right? Where was everybody, right? Michael Flynn's brother, Charles Flynn, well, he was on the phone call with the Army at the Pentagon with some of these players. And when asked about it for at least one, maybe two times, the Army denied it. They denied Charles Flynn being on the phone call with some of these cats, some of these perpetrators, right? Mike Flynn's brother. And you're going to tell me that we have an attack on the Capitol going on for 3 hours and the frickin' cavalry didn't arrive? I mean, in what world, in what situation, what scenario does that ever happen?
Well, Lazarus denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed.
What you mean by that, but you got to be freaking kidding me, man. I mean, in any other circumstance, anywhere else, of course, and we've talked about this memo that went out to how the police officers are supposed to deal with the Trump supporters. They couldn't have this. They couldn't have riot gear, all this other stuff that was all laid out. So this is above and beyond, you know, a couple of congressmen communicating on their encrypted app, while I certainly think that there's problems there, and taking the fifth or not showing up to testify when they're going to get, you know, the ability to issue subpoenas. What value do they have, those subpoenas, coming from people like that? That's problematic, certainly. But what about the Pentagon, man? What about the Army, the National Guard? Where the hell was everybody?
Gearing up for martial law, man. Take the ballot boxes back.
It was a stand-down order from Trump. This is my belief, and Flynn was in on it. And I don't know about Chuck or Charles Flynn or the brother, all those things that were going on. But for the Army to lie that he was not involved, not on the phone call, and to come out about it later and, you know, basically admit it and then not ever talk about it again, there are greater problems and greater issues, I think, that need to be investigated above and beyond those that were actually on the ground, the foot soldiers, and above and beyond Congress. There's other people that we still don't know what the hell happened. How do you look at the situation? How do you see this attack on the Capitol and not see 5,000 troops rolling in and stopping it? I mean, Donald Trump didn't do anything. The testimony, he didn't call DOJ. He didn't call Homeland Security. He didn't call Barney Fife. He didn't call anybody. He did zero for 3 hours while his people attacked.
Dominic, I have a reaction from the Senate Minority Leader, your buddy, the turtle guy, Mitch McConnell. Here is what he had to say today. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, according to The Hill, today issued a terse response to the House January 6th Select Committee's decision to refer criminal charges against former President Trump to the Justice Department. I think you know it if you've been listening. The entire nation knows who is responsible for that there. Beyond that, I don't have any immediate observations. At least he acknowledges, you know, it was Trump, right? It was Trump.
Yes. He said it once on the floor. He said it again today.
Do you see the GOP chairman, Brian Schimming, the new guy here in the great state of Wisconsin? Not the guy that was the fraudulent Trump elector, the new guy.
The new guy?
You know, talk radio host turned chairman. He said this weekend, you know, just don't say, I'm going to vote for this guy and never Trump, because Trump could be our nominee.
Oh.
Come back, more devils.
Now, who's responsible for this unwarranted attack on my person?
I'm proud to tell you that was actually my sick idea.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
Weather in a Moment brought to you by Wiscosh, providing technical assistance to workers, help with OSHA contract language, referrals to legal and health professionals, and assistance on safety and health. Call 414-870-3060. That's 414-870-3060.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
A winter storm watch begins at 6 a.m. Thursday morning and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a low of 21. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy again tomorrow, 25. Lows around 3 above tomorrow night. 2 to 4 inches of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
Before you accuse me, take a look at yourself.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, you want to join us on the phones, do so right now at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, a little late breaking news. Supreme Court Justice, your buddy, John Roberts, the chief. He's the one that decided Obamacare was a tax or something, right? Anyways, coming back to the story of the moment. Today, put a temporary hold on the termination of the controversial Trump-era immigration policy known as Title 42 that was set to end on December 21st, that's Wednesday, leaving it in place for now. But in a brief order, Roberts signaled that the court wants to act quickly and asked the Biden administration to respond by 5 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow in an emergency appeal filed by a group of Republican-led states. The brief orders from Roberts, means the policy that allows officials to swiftly expel migrants at the U.S. border will stay in effect, at least until the justices decide the emergency application. And then if they decide before Christmas, well, hell, Dom, what, you throw Jesus back in the barn.
Wow. Other breaking news as well. Crudy, Houston judge Christopher Lopez reportedly ended a stay preventing Sandy Hook families from collecting a $1.5 billion judgment against conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. In a ruling on Monday, Lopez granted an order to lift the stay that was automatically put in place when Jones filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protections. The judge set the order immediately to allow the Sandy Hook post-trial families cases to continue to proceed to entry of final judgment, and once judgments are entered, to allow appeals, if any, to proceed, and the Sandy Hook post-trial families to pursue, respond to, and participate in any appeals without further order of the court. So Alex Jones hiding behind his bankruptcy filing, well, that has now been ended.
844-967-2789. Still time to participate on this big show. Before we, you know, throw it to football, Dom. And one last topic. According to Axios, a little thing they did here, there are like four counties in the entire country that matter for the grand old party. And here is what Axios said. You gotta understand, there's going to be a local relevance. Just work with me. In the four battleground states likely to decide the outcome of the next presidential election, you know, Wisconsin's on that list, clawing back swing state voter support in the suburbs will be key to unlocking Republican revival. Why it matters, Republicans lost 6 of 8 Senate and gubernatorial races in Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin in 2022. And then Rojo. But anyways, a suburban bellwether county in each of these states could make all the difference in the GOP in 2024. Well, they talk about Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the performance of Fetterman, but I want to jump forward, Dom, to what will soon be our newest broadcast location, Brown County, Wisconsin.
Green Bay, baby.
Green Bay, baby. Around January 2nd, I think we're launching in Green Bay. Tell them we're coming for them. Brown County, centered in Green Bay, the fourth most populous county in Wisconsin, doesn't get as much attention as those including Milwaukee and Madison, but its competitive nature is pivotal to any GOP candidate's prospects. Both Senator Ron Johnson, losing GOP gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels, carried Brown County, but Johnson's double-digit margin there made the difference in his close race. Michaels versus Governor Tony Evers, while only led by 5 points. And former gubernator Scotty Wanker carried Brown County by 17 points in the 2014 election and even won by 8 points in his unsuccessful 2018 campaign. Brown County, Green Bay, baby. Big game up there tonight.
If I'm reading this correctly, Crudy, kind of harkens back to the piece we talked about earlier from Greg Gilbert at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. All these suburban cities in you know, Milwaukee area market here, swinging from, you know, slightly Republican to slightly Democratic, in some cases 20 or 30 points the swing. But if if Governor Walker led that by 17 and 14, won by 8 and 18, and Michaels led Evers only by 5, I mean, that trend line is not going in the proper direction if you're the GOP.
Well, it's not. But I would point out, Tim Michaels was a particularly distasteful candidate. Ron Johnson did better up there. Know what I mean? If you look at Ron as the litmus test, he did significantly better than Michaels did. Johnson had a double-digit margin in Brown County.
Yeah.
I mean, if Republicans continue to grow on double-digit leads in Brown County, it doesn't make any sense to me, Dom. Here's why. A, it's a metro. B, it's a college town. You know what I mean? It's not a big city, but it's a college town. Now, Brown County, approximately 300,000 people in Brown County. So it's a pretty good chunk. Dane County, a little bigger, but the city of Madison's only a couple hundred thousand. Green Bay, if you've ever been there for a Packer game or checked it out, it's a small city. You know what I mean? It feels like a small town. There are no skyscrapers in Green Bay. There's right. Lambeau Field and everything around Lambeau Field. And I guess the Foxy River, the Fox River, and we will be located right on the Ray Nitschke Bridge backing up to the Fox River on the corner right there on Washington Street in downtown Green Bay. That will be the broadcast home of WGBW. It's got Green Bay right in the name. I love that about it. 97.9 FM, that hasn't happened yet. And I'd like to thank my partner, Civic Media. Perhaps you'll join us in the new year as there are some new stations launching. And as there are lots and lots of things going on behind the scenes. But I'd really like to see 2023 be the best year ever, Dom. Let's just put it that way. And, you know, we don't have a lot of time to sit on our laurels. There is the Supreme Court primary on February 21st, and then the Supreme Court general election for the soul of the state of Wisconsin, for the future of Wisconsin's gerrymandered legislature. It's all on the ballot next April. You know, so we got a business quarter. After Christmas, we got a business quarter to turn on this Death Star and make it work. So appreciate it, partner, Sage Weil. You know, it's really to his credit that these things are happening. He is putting the resources behind him. Thank you to James Santel. He's one of the fine hosts on the Civic Media Network. If you haven't been listening, tune him in Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. And oh yeah, we got fine features like football, Packers football, on stations like WRCO. Now, Dom, it's not Merrick Garland Day. It's not Special Counsel Day, but it was still a merry Monday. I hope you had a good time.
I had a great Monday. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Evan. Thank you to our fair audience and Jim Santel.
Yeah, don't forget, Native Roots Radio is next. And then the Paul Revere Show with Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Mark Thompson. And unlike Bob Spindell, he has not been credibly alleged to have committed insurrectionist conspiracy with the former president. You know, the guy that was criminally referred today. Have a great night, everyone. Thanks for listening. Devil's Advocates, keep it locked. Civic Media.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Save my soul.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.